of us, when we hear that, especially if you were raised in the church, right, we want to immediately kind of push back against that. But here's the truth. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel that way where they're looking at the church and they're going, I don't know if this is necessary for my life. Even if we think about the last few decades of what we've seen, it seems that the church has gone from at one time being an important place to raise one's family and important for one's spiritual journey to becoming largely irrelevant to many. It's the reality of the world we live in today. And I know the natural tendency is go, yep, that's the problem. It's the world's problem. Is it? Or is there maybe some things in the church that God wants us to be aware of and some things that maybe God wants to transform in his church? So a few weeks ago, we set out on a journey. Because if we're really going to answer this question, we got to know, what does the scripture really teach us about the church? Maybe we could ask this question. Is what we call church today the same thing that Jesus had in mind 2,000 years ago when he said, I'm going to build my church? So we began this journey to discover what the New Testament teaches us about the church and how the early church lived, how they functioned, how they walked out their faith. I was thinking about it this past week. I was kind of wrestling, knowing today we were going to kind of wrap this series up. And I was thinking about it, like, if we could sum this all up, like, if it was somehow possible with just one word, what would that one word be? And the word that came to me was love. That the message that the New Testament reveals about the church is that the church is supposed to be one of love. A love for God that leads to devotion and surrender. And a love for one another that leads to commitment and selflessness. I think that's what we've discovered over these weeks as we have journeyed through the New Testament. Well, today, I want to shift our focus a little bit as we conclude. Instead of discussing what the church is to reveal to the world, I want to spend our last time here, our last time in this series, focused on what we need from the church. Right? If you've been with us, if you've been following, right, we've been talking a lot about what the church is called to reveal to the world, this love that we're called to share. But the reality is, too, there's also something that we need from the church. But it's also something that we have a tendency to resist. It's something that we need, but it's something that we tend to resist. And it is this, an accountability that leads to transformation. We can maybe say it this way. We need the church to help us change. Now, I know that word, right? That word can be a little difficult to hear. We don't like that word, change. Have you ever noticed this, that change doesn't come easy? Even if we understand, isn't this true, that even if we understand the gains that we will achieve, right, the benefits that we'll achieve through change, it can still be difficult to take the steps towards it? Isn't that true? It's not difficult because of the benefits that await us, right? That's not the difficult part. The reason why change is hard is because many times it feels like we're leaving something behind. In their book, Leadership on the Line, the authors say that people don't resist change, they resist loss. And that's how change feels sometimes, doesn't it? Change feels like loss. Like we're losing control. Like we're losing our identity. Like we're losing our past efforts or that we're losing our comfort. It's why we tend to resist change, even if that means forfeiting what we know is good for us. You know, I'm going to turn 40 in like 2 weeks. It's crazy. I remember when I was a kid and my dad turned 40, I was like, dude, you're almost dead. Like, it's like we might as well just pick out a plot for you. And now here I am, like, getting ready, like, oh, I can't believe it. It snuck up on me. But as I'm realizing this, that as you get older, your body starts changing. And I've become aware, like, I probably need to lose a few. As I'm getting to that halfway point in life, I'm like, I need to lose some weight. But you know what? I understand this. Losing weight is a good thing. It will make me healthier. I'll probably feel better. I may even live longer. But I struggle to lose weight. Not because I don't want to be healthier, but because of what I have to lose in order to lose weight. See, because I like burgers and I like French fries. Sometimes I like the French fries right in the burger, right? I like pizza. I like ice cream, which if you guys didn't know, God actually created on that day after he rested. First thing he did was create ice cream. So, I mean, it's a joke. You're like, I don't see this in the Bible. No, I love junk food. Last night, we went to the lake yesterday. Afterwards, we came home. We watched a movie, and I sat there with a bag of Twizzlers, eating my Twizzlers, drinking my soda. I love junk food. And every time I think about dropping weight, every time I think about eating healthier, I don't think about the benefits. I just think about all the things I'm going to have to lose. I'm going to have to lose that delicious junk food. You know, here's the truth. As much as we tend to dislike change, and especially the thought of loss, the reality is that the Christian journey is one of transformation. The Christian journey is one of transformation. It's one of change. You see, Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's not something that we only ascend to in our heads. Sometimes we try to make it that way. It's a belief system. So we believe, we think certain things. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is not a philosophy. It is a relationship with God through Christ Jesus, in which he is revealing himself to us through his word and his spirit. And he is teaching us who he is and who he created us to be. And in that relationship, God helps us embrace our identity as his children. He helps us understand who we were created to be. And he begins the work of transforming us, not condemning us, not telling us how terrible we are. I know sometimes religion loves to do that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship in which God is helping us become the people in which we were created to be by transforming us from the inside out. And when that happens, right, things begin to change. The way we think about things changes. What we do changes. Our beliefs change. Our aspirations, our desires, our actions, right, they begin to change. And that journey is exciting. Especially if you're watching someone as they enter into a relationship with Jesus and you begin to see their life begin to be transformed by God. And it's exciting to watch. It's exciting to go through. But it also can be difficult because change is hard. And it's That's why we tend at times to avoid the things that lead us to change. But that's exactly why Jesus gave us the church. John chapter 5, let's read starting in verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, when you reread that, it can be a little scary. Confess your sins to one another. Like that, I don't know about you guys, that can cause a little bit of tension inside me because I'm like, hang on a second here. What? I don't think James is saying, right, that we got to take turns coming up here and being like, all right, guys, this past week, let me tell you everything I struggled with. I don't, right? That would be a pretty miserable service, I'm going to be honest, right? That would be embarrassing and it would be difficult. We would have a tendency to try to flee that type of situation. I don't think that's what James is saying. I believe that what James is saying is that we need Christian brothers and sisters in our lives who can help us overcome the struggles that we face by committing to the journey of following Jesus down the road of transformation. We need one another to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable on this journey of following Jesus down the road of transformation. Because without each other, what we will tend to do is we will tend to avoid the things that lead to transformation, the things that are difficult, the things that put us in uncomfortable situations. I love how the pastor, how author and pastor Rick Warren, when kind of wrestling with this, he put it like this. He said, if all you want to do is be forgiven, speaking of sin, he said, just admit it to God. He said, but if you want to change, you're going to have to admit it to another person. You're going to have to admit it to another person. You know, I need people in my life to pray with me. I need people in my life who will encourage me when I'm tempted to return to sin. I need people in my life who will celebrate with me as God has given me victory in my life, as God is doing that work of transformation. And I need people in my life, people who I can trust, who care about me, who are even willing to tell me when I'm wrong. That is what we need from the church. We need a grace-filled, Bible-believing community that we can be transformed into the people that God created us to be. Because the reality is we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We need one another. And I know that sounds scary, right? My guess is there's some of us who are sitting here like, I think that's one of the reasons why we're tempted sometimes to say, you know what, I don't need the church. I don't need the church because I don't need anyone telling me that I'm wrong or that I need to change. And I understand that. I get that. Who wants that, right? That doesn't sound very pleasant. But I think one of the reasons we feel that way is because of what we've made church, where it feels like this, like you got to have it all together. You got to be perfect to be a part of the church. And if you're not, you get judged. If you're not, you get condemned. If you're not, you get told how bad you are. That's not the church. In the book of Luke, Jesus is having dinner with a group of people. In the middle of this dinner, a bunch of religious people show up. You ever meet some religious people? People who think they got it all figured out? People who are always right? Those people, they show up. And they start talking trash on Jesus. I can't believe that you would hang out with this type of people. I can't believe that you would share a meal with that person. I can't believe that you would show grace, right? They start ripping on Jesus. Which, I mean, right away, we already kind of know, like, probably bad move. Maybe we have the luxury of 2,000 years of history. Right? They start ripping on Jesus. And this is how Jesus answers them. It says, and Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The church is to be a place where broken people can find wholeness, where the wounded can find healing. The church is supposed to be like a hospital. Right? If you are well, you don't go, I'm feeling good today. I have no intention of going to the ER. The church is supposed to be a place where broken people can find wholeness. Now let me fill everyone in on a little secret. You guys ready for this? None of you are. Sweet. All right. Let me fill you in on this. Every single one of us are broken sinners. Every single one of us. We all need God's grace. We all need God's healing. We all need redemption. And second and third and fourth and tenth chances. We all need God's grace. And that's what the church is supposed to be about God's grace and forgiveness and helping one another walk in it. I think this, that it is time for the church to be honest, that we are all broken, that we all need God's grace, and we all need one another's encouragement if we're going to complete this journey towards transformation. You know, and when that happens, when the church starts, I think, getting honest, and we start embracing, like, hey, this is who we are, and this is why we need Jesus, not only will it help us go to where God wants to take us, but it will send a message to the world. And if I can, I would put it this way. I think the message that the world needs to hear from the church is that it's okay to not be okay. I think the message the world has gotten from the church has been, come be like us, stop being like that. And maybe what they need to hear is that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to have doubt. It's okay if you're going through something, if you feel like you're overwhelmed, if a relationship is broken, that it's okay. It's okay. We accept you as you are. Together, let's go on this journey of following Jesus and allowing God to bring healing to that situation, allowing God to mend that situation, allowing God, If there's need of conviction of sin, allowing him to do that work. Because we're all on the journey. And we need God's grace, and we need one another to get to the end of that journey. Over the last several weeks, we've been wrestling. Is the church necessary? I think that if you've been here through these last, I think it's been 8 weeks now, Keith, right? A little longer than we said. We said four, we went eight. All right. A little bit longer. Hopefully, though, we've unpacked this, I think that what we've discovered is the church necessary? The church is needed today like it's never been needed before. Our world needs to encounter the hope and the love that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And our world needs to see. We need to live out the witness of what selfless commitment looks like being a part of his church. Keith said it as in his prayer that God has given the church a mission. Mission. To go and to make disciples. To reveal his love. To spread the good news of Jesus Christ. That God's not angry at the world. But God loves the world. So much. That he entered it and died to redeem it. The world needs to hear that good news. They need to see the beauty of the church and the love of the God that we serve. Now, speaking of beauty, there is no greater beauty. Jesus said this, right? There's no greater love, no greater beauty, we could say, than that one would lay down their life for their friend. Jesus, God in the flesh, entered into creation and died on the cross, gave his life. He didn't demand his rights. He didn't say, this is what I deserve. No, he gave his life for you and I so we could be saved. That is beauty. That is God's love for his creation. So as we conclude today, what I want to do is together to celebrate God's love through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, or communion as we call it. Now the reason why we refer to this sacrament, this time of remembrance as the Lord's Supper, is because it was actually started by Jesus himself. That's what Scripture teaches us. That the night before Jesus was betrayed and went to the cross, that while sharing a meal with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, eat this, take this. Whenever you eat this, you eat it in remembrance of me. And it says it also that he took a cup of wine, he poured it and said, drink this. And as you drink it in remembrance of me. Because Jesus was telling them, he was foreshadowing that he was going to go to the cross. And like bread torn, his body was going to be broken. And like wine poured out, his blood was going to be shed to redeem us from our sin. To be that physician that we all need. To heal us and to redeem us. So for 2,000 years, Christians, when they would gather together, when we do gather together, we eat bread and we drink juice, this cup, in remembrance of the love that God demonstrated for us on the cross by dying in our place to save us from our sins. And as we eat and as we drink, we express our gratitude, our dependency, our need for God's grace, and our desire to have that grace flow through our lives to others. So Keith and the team, they're going to come up and lead us in some more music, but as they're kind of just playing, I want to encourage you today spend a little time before the Lord. To allow the Lord to show you if there's anything in your life that maybe he's calling you to surrender. Maybe that journey of transformation, God is showing you something. Maybe that's that you need Jesus. Maybe you've never made a decision to truly surrender your life over to God. And right now you can feel God tugging on your heart, so to speak. You can feel, yeah, I need Jesus in my life. So maybe this morning you would make that decision. Jesus, I need you to be the Lord of my life. Maybe there's some things that you're hanging on to. Sin, unforgiveness, whatever it is. Maybe this morning you need to release that and you need to let it go and you need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to be willing to surrender that to him. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. We have a church family right here. Maybe you would just tap the person next to you, or there's someone that you know, you go, you know what, I trust them. And just go, will you pray with me real quick? You have the freedom to do that. And then, as you're ready, I'm going to invite you to come down. The reason why we come down is because it's an act of humility. It's us coming to God as he's revealing himself. Come down. We're going to have some elders up here. They're going to be holding the elements, the bread and the juice. Take a piece of bread. Take a cup of juice. Circle back to your seat. And then when you're seated and you're ready, feel free and partake in the Lord's Supper.